Kathleen, I had one of those shower disasters this morning where you slip and drop everything and it goes crashing to the bottom of your shower.
Oh, no.
The only thing that didn't fall was my Athena Club razor, thank God, because it has that awesome little magnetic dot that it lives on in your shower.
Yeah.
So it never falls from slippery hands.
No, that doesn't happen with Athena Club. And also, when I got back from vacation, I used my Cloud Foam shave cream from Athena Club for the first time in a couple of days. And oh my God, it was a euphoric experience.
It's the best. We love Athena Club so much. Their razor is designed with built-in skin guards, so it helps prevent razor burn and it's gentle on curves. Plus, the razor kit, not just the razor, but the whole kit, is only $9. It comes with two blade heads, a magnetic hook for shower storage that I was talking about, and your choice of cute handle colors.
You know, it blows my mind every time one of us is like, yeah, it's only $9. Because at the regular drugstore, women's razors are like $17.
Plus, you never have to worry about running out of refills or being stuck with dull, overused razors. You can choose how often replacement blades ship to you for free. So show your skin you care with the Athena Club Razor Kit.
Sign up today and you'll get 20% off of your first order. All you have to do is go to athenaclub.com and use the promo code TASTE.
That's athenaclub.com with promo code TASTE for 20% off.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen Heaney, I'm terrible at making coffee, but very good at drinking it. I connected with an old friend, and I'm excited about it, but not excited to admit I was wrong in letting the friendship fizzle. Chobani unsweetened oat milk is the milk the world needs, unless you're gluten intolerant. Friend.
And I'm Bethany Watson, your Halloween celebrating, even though it's August, book decluttering. I'm now paying a monthly fee so I can watch Mets games through their app because I'm still surprisingly in love with baseball, friend.
And every week, Bethany and I get together to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we're inviting you to join us. This week, we're talking about
things that are making me happy.
Oh.
Kathleen, last week on the show, I re-listened to the episode and I was very negative. I was talking about how I hate jeans, and I was talking about how Michael's Crafts had messed up one of the cool witchy signs, and I was just mad. So this week, I am talking about Instagram accounts and life choices and habits that are making me very happy and that I think might make other people happy, too.
Wow.
Happy.
I'm so excited for this, Bethany. You know, it didn't occur to me that you were negative last episode. You know, we all have those days where we hate everything.
Well, I think I was like, I was in a really good mood, but sometimes I just get fired up and two things in a row fired me up. I think it was in segment one. And so I was just fired up. And that tends to present as me complaining when really I'm just passionate about whatever it is that's firing me up.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, I get it.
What are you talking about, Kathleen?
I am talking about recommendation algorithms and recommendation engines.
Oh, wow.
Do we actually like the things we like? Music, movies, books, clothing, or has an algorithm made those decisions for us?
That is interesting because I feel like my Instagram algorithm right now is perfect.
Oh.
Where if I go to the Discover page, it's basically gothy house interiors and baby bulldogs. And that's all I need.
More than even what's on my regular feed, I've been enjoying the Discover page like tenfold. That's kind of what I go on Instagram for now. But I'm here to talk about the ways in which recommendation algorithms affect our daily lives and we don't even realize it.
That's really interesting. Okay, I'm excited. By the way, what does your Discover page show you on Instagram?
Oh, let me pull it up right now and I'll tell you.
Yeah.
It's usually like pink couches and some DIY. Oh, let's see. 7 signs you are a creative person. That just came up on my my Discovery page. Oh, a screenshot of the new production of Sex and the City.
Ooh. Okay.
A cat getting under a door. That's cool. and an illustration of a candle that says, it takes courage to say yes to rest and play in a culture where exhaustion is seen as a status symbol.
Mm, that's a big candle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big one.
Mine is an old picture of Miss America vampire from 1970s with a man putting a crown of like feathers and claws and a tiara on her head.
Oh my God.
Here's a video of a Rottweiler asking for food in the cutest way possible. And two spatulas you can get in Kentucky that have spider webs and the word beware on them.
Ooh. Do you think that Instagram sprinkles in like at least one animal video for everybody's discovery page so they know that at least one of those items will be a hit?
I think so. I think they quickly learn whether or not that is going to hit. Because I know there are some people out there who don't love animals.
Yeah.
But I think they're few and far between.
So let's talk about Alaska for a second.
Alaska?
Alaska.
Okay, let's go. Let's do it.
There was a guy in the Alaskan wilderness. He had set up camp. And one night, a bear attacked him, like, you know, came into his camp and attacked him. Uh-huh. And then the guy couldn't even pack up and get away because the bear continued to stalk and hunt him for a full week.
Just like 24/7?
24/7.
Oh, that's awful. Oh, my gosh.
And the only reason he survived is because the Coast Guard just decided to fly over this area of land that they usually don't fly over, and he was there waving his arms.
That to me is more terrifying than even the bear thing.
Uh-huh.
I was just listening to a podcast. I'm going to make sure I can find it. It was an episode of Last Podcast on the Left, and they were talking about this ship collision that happened and the USS Indianapolis. So it's their episode 461. And it's this awful story, but like a bunch of sailors they had to like flee their boat. And wow. Then they got separated into small groups. Some small groups lost their mind. A couple sailors became cannibalistic in just like 3 days.
Oh my God.
It's like, bro, you can live for longer than 3 days without food. Why are you suddenly just eating people willy-nilly?
Yeah.
But spoiler alert, the reason that anyone who survived was even discovered was because some pilot just happened to like check out this oil slick that he wasn't originally going to check out, but decided against it and like turned around and then saw these sailors in the water.
Oh my God.
And the fact that it's just a chance decision by somebody in a position of being able to rescue, I don't like those chances.
It says that at some point, the bear dragged the guy down to the river and he had a pistol, but the bear kept coming back every night and he hadn't slept in days and he was running out of ammunition.
So the bear wasn't there during the day, though?
It was watching him from afar during the day, I think.
Jeez. I wonder if it was like a mama.
This is from BuzzFeed News, and I'll include the link in our show notes, but insanity.
That's another reason not to go camping, because you just, I'm more and more, the videos that I'm watching on YouTube are telling me, again, like algorithms, but I think this algorithm is based on nothing but hard truth. If you go into the woods to camp, you're just not coming back, friend. And I say this to my sister, Nicole, and I say this to my cousin, Katie, and to anybody else who I regularly see camping on Instagram, I see you camping. You are taking your life in your own hands.
Is that your cousin Calamity, Katie?
Yes, Katie, yeah. Who slammed her lip in the door during her driver's test. Katie, I love you desperately and your whole family. But my God, stop camping. It's just not good for you.
Well, in an effort to talk about maybe something a little bit more cheerful, since we decided that that's an issue of ours.
I'm failing at being upbeat.
Can we talk about Title IX? And this is not a commercial.
Yes, Title IX is this amazing brand that we've partnered with. We're not partnering with them on this episode, but we are partnered in general. They're an athletic company. They say for women, I say for like people who wear women silhouettes, mm-hmm. But we love them. What's going on with Title IX?
They are writing a check to the U.S. women's soccer team because, believe it or not, the women's U.S. soccer team is still denied equal pay, and it's bullshit.
It's insane. It's insane. And so the woman who started Title IX,
Missy Park, she's the CEO.
Yeah, she's like filled with like a powerful rage right now.
Yeah. She said, In this Glamour article, she's quoted as saying, "I was just getting so mad, yes, with the U.S. soccer team, but also a little bit frustrated with myself." And she said, "Maybe I can't do everything to fix the pay gap, but I can do something." She got in touch with the women's U.S. soccer team, and she's like, "Okay, what kind of check do I need to write to make this right?" It turns out that that was $1 million.
Good for her. That's mm-hmm. one of the reasons I want to be crazy rich is yes. like so I can take action when something like this happens. Mm-hmm. I also love that Pink offered to pay fines that were levied against the Norwegian handball players because they showed up wearing shorts, not bikini bottoms. And that's another thing Missy Park said is like, we should stop viewing these uniforms as clothes that could be sexy or not sexy and view them as tools for your sport.
Yeah.
If you're playing beach volleyball and you're diving into the sand, you're going to get sand burn on your body. And bikini bottoms are not really going to help you do much. And I don't think dudes have to wear bikini bottoms when they play.
I would like to see all of the men's volleyball teams performing in little Speedos, okay? Like hell would freeze over before that happened.
Maybe they do. I haven't watched volleyball in a while. Do the men wear Speedos and tiny little outfits? They might.
Have you been keeping up with, who's the SNL actor who does the commentary on the Olympics?
Oh.
Leslie Jones.
You know what? I have not been paying attention to the Olympics almost at all. Like, as much as I love Leslie Jones, if her videos come up in my feed, I'll watch them. But I haven't been seeking them out just because I just haven't really become invested in anyone this year. Mm-hmm. I know what kind of floats to the surface of the news cycle. I've been really looking into the twisties, which is what Simone Biles has come down with, which is just really frightening in gymnastics.
Will you explain to me what the twisties are?
Yeah. So it's this thing that happens. It looks like mostly with gymnasts where, from what I understand, your brain sort of stops communicating with your body. Huh. You stop having a sense of where and what your body is doing when you're up in the air flipping, doing a skill. And so you may lose track of the number of, you know, twists or turns you've done. Yeah. And it sounds like your brain sort of gets a death grip on the situation and tries to make sure you do it right. And so you may end up adding extra twists or extra features to flippies or whatever to this move. And you can definitely hurt yourself very, very badly. So it's not just like a feeling overwhelmed or feeling overstressed or whatever. It's a very real loss of ability to communicate with your own body. And it's dangerous. It's very, very dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, imagine twisting in the air and your brain and your body just like being totally disconnected. That's terrifying.
That's sort of more what I've been interested in because I'd never heard of it before, but it's fascinating and it's scary.
Did you watch anything good this weekend? TV shows, movies?
I started watching The Evil Dead because I haven't seen it in a long time. I did turn it off.
I'm going to touch on that later. Things you start watching but then turn off. That comes into play into my topic.
I realize that like I just don't have time for a very loud, piercing movie right now. It's not what I need. I like the movie, but it's a lot. You told me to watch, what cartoon did you tell me to watch again?
Oh, Bethany, The Prince.
The Prince.
On HBO Max.
Okay.
It is. It's from
Cartoon, right?
Yeah, it's a cartoon. It's from Gary Jannetty, who I followed on Instagram for a long time, and he's a TV writer. He has been for years. I believe that he was one of the head writers for Will and Grace. I will fact check this, and then I'll take it out if it's not. He's been a hilarious Instagram and Twitter follow for a long time. Anyway, he wrote this show called The Prince. It's a cartoon. The episodes are really short. They're like 15 to 20 minutes long. And it's about Prince George and the royal family, tongue in cheek. And Prince George is such a delightful little asshole in this. And it's really funny, but then they use the music from Succession, you know, when like serious decisions are happening. Because, you know, it's like about a rich family, just like Succession. Yeah. And like Princess Charlotte, she's like maybe a spy. And then she speaks all these languages fluently despite being a little kid. Kate Middleton and Prince, goodness gracious, what's her husband's name? Will. Yeah. I like that I know Kate Middleton before I know Will. Will and Kate really hate each other. And she's like looking for properties to get a divorce. And like Harry and Meghan move to LA and Harry starts working at a Starbucks. And he's like, can I learn to make tea? Or is that too hard? Is that a week two kind of thing? Bethany, it's so funny. Prince Philip is alive in this version, but every now and then he dies and the butlers take him downstairs to put him in a machine that shocks him and brings him back to life.
So this is based off of Gary Jannetty for a very long time, has been taking photos of the royal family, specifically Prince, this tiny prince.
Yes, Prince George.
Prince George, and like adding really snarky captions to them. So I'm guessing he either pitched it or got offered a show based on these Instagram posts he's been doing for a really long time. So I'm excited. I will have to watch it because I need something light. I need a light fare.
It's light and funny, and I just laughed my ass off. before we wrap up segment one, I just want to remind our gentle listeners that Bethany and I have a live show.
We do. We have two live shows every month for our Patreon members if you're at the $5 tier. And Kathleen, when are our next live shows? We haven't scheduled them yet.
Okay, so let's schedule them right now.
What do you call a country full of people who put things off? A procrastination.
So our August shows are scheduled for August 10th. That is a Tuesday. And then also August 23rd, and that's a Monday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you can sign up on patreon.com/acquiredtaste.
Yes. And again, we are so grateful to our patrons. You guys really just make everything such a blast. And we have so much fun. And these Patreon live shows afterward, we post them on Patreon so that you can watch them again if you weren't able to join us or you just want to watch it again.
Yeah.
So they're always available for you, even if you didn't make the live show.
All right, let's get to it.
All right. Okay, so Kathleen, let's talk about some positive, wonderful things that I have been loving and that I am going to suggest to you to see if it helps make everyone else's life as happy as it's made mine.
Yes, hit me with it, Bethany.
Okay. First things first, You know that I'm feeding the birds and the squirrels outside my apartment, and I just have to say that having birds around has been such a benefit to my life.
No, they're spies for the government. Birds don't exist anymore.
Even if they're spies for the government and they're just little tiny electronic birds that seem like they would be very expensive, I have really been enjoying having them. So I don't even have bird feeders because there's so many bird feeders that are like, these are squirrel proof. I also feed the squirrels. I don't care. I love seeing them. So I just have a tray that I have out on my fire escape and I just spread bird seed and peanuts all over the place. And they have come to work out a schedule. So there's this one squirrel who eats first. I literally see a line of birds waiting for the squirrel to finish. And then they come in an orderly fashion and they all eat according to their turn.
Oh.
Some of them can eat together and they've worked out a system, but it's anytime I look out my window, there's a different person. There's a different friend out there eating. And it's wonderful. If you are an animal lover, it's a great injection of getting that animal fixed throughout your day.
And even if you live in an apartment or you don't have outdoor space to yourself, they make these really cool bird houses, which is essentially just like a little plastic container with suction cups. And you can stick it to your window and the birds will come and have a snack at your viewing pleasure.
Yeah. And look, the squirrels are going to come too. That's just, it's part of it. They're cute. It's fine. Make sure to have water out for them because one of my favorite things is seeing just like the little birds go to the dish of water and drink from it. And the little squirrels like glug, glug, glug from it. And I refill it every day, give them fresh water. It's great if you're stressed. You can just look up out the window and they're calm. You don't have to schedule a trip out of town to get out into nature.
Yeah.
Just watching these living things do their weird little mechanical movements. Like birds are so strangely mechanical. It's been such a source of joy and peace in my life.
Yeah.
And I really love them.
You know, birds are really funny in the way that they move. They move like either robots or people who have a really sore back, you know?
Yeah.
They turn their whole upper body or like they just turn their head without turning the rest of their body. And it's like, do you have back pain or are you a robot?
It's wonderful. It's so weird because their eyes are on the side of their head. Sometimes they'll turn their head to the side and cock it if they think they see me. And then I just say hi and I try to get them to know my voice. Oh. It's just fun, you guys. I don't care. I love it. It makes me happy.
Okay.
I don't feed them Cheez-Its or anything. I'm feeding them like the food they need. Okay. If you love spooky things and you're loving the upcoming spooky season.
Oh, yes, I am.
It is pre-Halloween right now. We're in August now.
Uh-huh.
Here's some Instagram accounts that I highly recommend.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay. At Darkstagram with three M's. So this is an aggregate account. It mostly reposts other accounts, but it's a really nice way to discover new kind of spooky, gothy, creepy accounts. And they're really good at giving credit to who they're reposting.
One of my favorite Instagram features is the save option.
Yeah.
Because when you, like if you're very excited for Halloween and you want to save decor ideas or costume ideas, you can just start a little Halloween folder on your Instagram account and then save all of the images that give you inspiration.
It's great. It's like a Pinterest within Instagram.
Yeah.
If you like spooky decor, go to Life After Death Designs.
Ooh.
They have a mug hanger, you know, like a little plaque that has four pegs that sticks out of it and you can hang your coffee mugs from it.
Uh-huh.
It says good morning, but morning is spelled M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Good morning.
I'm looking at it right now. This is a great account. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this black heart that has a magnet on the back of it.
Yeah, it's an anatomically correct heart magnet.
You know, one of my favorite fun DIY projects is if you go to, I don't know, any craft store, sometimes they'll have little rubber figurines for children.
Yeah.
Bring them home, cut them in half, put a magnet on the back or spray them in a color that you like, put a magnet on the back, and then you have these really charming little dinosaur magnets or, you know, Halloween magnets that are all sprayed gold in there. It's really such a good idea.
That's great. Yeah, I love my, like if I go to Michael's or any craft store, buy all my money. Because all of a sudden I'm like, I need these foam things that punch out along a line and I need to like, I just need paint.
You know what's really in again that is also sort of Halloweenish is busts.
Yes.
Busts as decor.
Yes. Yes.
And
yes.
Columns.
Yes. Yes.
People
yes.
are putting columns with busts in their houses again. And there's a lot of ways to dress up your bust for Halloween, you know, put spider webs on it or, you know, accoutrements, spooky accoutrements. I think it's really interesting.
I've been saying this for years. Remember when we were in Santa Fe and I tried to fly home a giant concrete bust and we just couldn't make it work? It would have cost... Anyway. They also, by the way, Life After Death Designs also has a journal that I really want. The cover is this. It's black. It's got gold writing and this really beautiful artistic style. It says, "The Art and Science of Embalming." But it's a journal.
Ooh.
I want it.
Listen, I've scrolled down pretty far on Life After Death Designs on Instagram, and they have a spooky Christmas tree.
Ooh.
It's all black and silver balls. It's got this beautiful black and white striped grosgrain ribbon going all over the tree, and it's got a black tree skirt. Bethany, you have to do this year.
This might be the year. Mm-hmm. If you're not necessarily into decorating your own stuff as spooky, but you really just love visually cool things, ethereal things, the account Akira... I think it's Akira's Regdor. I will link all of these in the show notes, but it's AKIRESREGDOR. She's an East Coast-based filmmaker, and she posts these incredible spooky photos. My favorite one is this woman floating in the foreground of this photo, and in the background is this very spooky house. It's like fall. And the woman is all in black, but it's not like she's floating, like her arms are kind of up. All you see is her from the waist down. So it looks like you're catching her just as she's floating away. And
it's very
spooky,
it.
But it's beautiful. Her stuff is just stunning.
Ooh, Bethany, you know, you've been to the country recently. If you have any pictures of cool houses that you want me to do this Photoshop for you, I will gladly do it for you.
I have one. I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kathleen. That's amazing.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
And I'll just do one more. I have a couple, but I'll put them all in the show notes. My favorite is Stitches and Spells. Her name is Brionna. She's a taste bud.
Really?
And Kathleen, yes, I think that she is a perfect example of your aesthetic and my aesthetic combined, Kathleen. Her stuff is very colorful and beautiful and playful and bright, but she's also super witchy and has kind of a magical vibe, and she does cosplay. She's really fun, and her sense of style and her overall page is just really wonderful. So, and she's a taste bud, so she's one of us.
Oh, yeah, I just followed her back.
Stitches and Spells.
I just followed her back from our Instagram account. Look at that. Wow.
She's a fun follow.
You know, I have on my Pinterest page, I have a board for Halloween and Thanksgiving decor.
Yeah.
And it's all like creepy pumpkins, but they're in bright neon colors.
Right. Exactly. That's the thing. And that's what Brionna is. Like, she's bright and colorful and like bright greens and purples, but she's also definitely holding a magic wand. Like, she's definitely making something levitate off screen.
You know, this is a perfect example, Brionna's account, that you should wear things that make you happy. Like, fuck other people's opinions. If they don't like your cat dress, or if they don't like your coffee shirt, or if they don't like your t-shirt that says, I'm a cool cat mom, I'm not a regular cat mom, like, they can totally fuck off. You should wear things that make you happy.
I believe if it makes you happy, you can pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kathleen, if you wanted to walk around all day in a 1950s pinup dress with a splash of blood across the back, I'd be like, works for you, because it you know, it makes you happy.
That's my Halloween costume this year.
Faux blood, not real blood. Okay, here's an Instagram and TikTok account if you just want to be happy. It's not witchy, it's not Halloweeny, it's just if you need a good laugh.
Okay.
It is useless_farm. This is the account I go to anytime I need to feel happy. It is literally a useless farm. It is all of these animals who are completely out to lunch. They're all off their rockers. You get to know all of them. So my favorite of them is Karen. Karen is an emu who is really just a dinosaur. She is a monster. She's so mean. All she's doing is trying to attack the woman who runs the farm.
Oh my gosh.
She sneaks up behind her. She snaps at her. She's scary and mean and always wants to talk to the manager. Karen is the worst. I love Karen the most.
I just followed useless_farm on TikTok from the Acquired Taste TikTok, which I've made last week.
Well done.
And I'm loving this. Two emus sniffing each other's butts.
They're all nuts. None of these animals are useful in any way, hence the name. There's Brad, who's a silky chicken who just chases the woman while she screams and runs away. Doug is a very needy donkey. He just wants to be around you and on top of you. And then there's Michael, who's an alpaca, who is so dumb that if you call his name, he turns his head super slowly. And he usually has something hanging out of his mouth. He's real vacant. And he's real dumb.
There's something about animals with typical human names that just, it gets me. It gets
me. I know. I think she has a peacock named Jeff. Or something. They all have human names. Every single one of them. It's the best. I love them very much.
There's a new commercial. I think it debuted during the Olympics. If you Google 2021 Chevy Silverado commercial, it's a car commercial. It's a minute long, and it's all about this guy and his cat named Walter, and Walter acts like a dog more than he does a cat. And at some point during the commercial, the guy is like, hey, Walter, go fetch. And the cat jumps into a lake, fetches the stick, and comes back. And an onlooker is like, wow, that's amazing. And the guy's like, yeah, I know. I just got it. Look at this rear storage I have. And he's talking about the car, and the onlooker is like, no. I meant the cat.
I'm watching this now. What a nightmare. Cats are the hardest things.
Come on, bud. You're scaring him. Walter,
Oh, this, yeah, I don't know if I can play the sound or anything. Now he's out on a boat.
It's so long and it's a visual medium. But yeah, check out Walter, the Walter Cat Chevy commercial. It is amazing.
Wow. Getting a cat to do anything for a commercial sounds like a nightmare. That shoot must have lasted forever.
Like, imagine getting a cat and naming it, like, I don't know, Mr. Smith. Like, that's it. Yeah. Just, like, the most human name ever.
I know. I love giving animals, like, really extensive... I've always given my animals very long names, but mm-hmm. I love giving them very regal names or very benign, like boring, like Jeff. I think Jeff is a very funny name for any animal.
So it'd be like Jeff the Third of Useless Farm Territories.
Yeah, yeah. Or like it's Jeffrey. It's like Sir Jeffrey, but we've shortened it to Jeff, you know, because he's like one of us. Okay, another thing that's making me happy. The health app on my iPhone to keep track of my steps. And here is why.
Okay.
Ever since Corona, my movement has slowed way down.
Mm-hmm.
And I was noticing such a difference in how I felt, even just mentally.
Yeah.
And now I am actively trying to get 10,000 steps a day. I know it's an arbitrary number. Pick whatever number you want. But ever since I started paying attention to it in the health app, I can see, like, yesterday I only got 3,000 steps. I want to try harder to get my weekly average up, so I'm going to go more today. And it is the only thing that has really kept me motivated to move around more. I know a lot of people have Fitbits that count, or, you know, Whoop straps or whatever that count your steps. I don't. They're not good for me. Having my phone, I just want steps. I don't want anything else tracked. And it's keeping me motivated to keep moving because I don't want to let myself down.
Yeah.
By letting my average daily steps drop. Yeah. And it's made a huge difference.
Well, there's a direct correlation between how many steps you're getting and how happy you are. 100%.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. It's mostly for my brain.
Yeah.
And so if that's helpful to you, if you have an iPhone, you know, you just carry it in your back pocket the whole time. Just I can't compare it to anyone else. I can't compete with anyone else.
Yeah.
But if it's good for you to be counting those sort of things, that's been really helpful to me. Like that kind of accountability.
I live by my Fitbit. I love it.
Okay. One more thing that's making me very happy. My chin-up bar in a central location.
Okay.
So if you are trying to get A, stronger arms, or B, stronger like core muscles, or shoulders, whatever, here's my recommendation. Get yourself a chin-up bar. It doesn't have to be the 18-foot tall freestanding one I accidentally bought. Get yourself a doorway chin-up bar. You can get them on Amazon or wherever. Put it in a doorway that you go through a lot.
Yeah.
If you live alone, make it the bathroom door. So you have to close the door because you can't close the door. Every time you go through that doorway, try to do one pull-up or one chin-up or hang from it and pull your knees up to your chest or try to. Just once. Just once. Every time you go through the door.
I love a good hanging, like a good hanging ab workout where you can easily do your obliques and it doesn't feel like your spine is breaking on the floor.
Yes. Yeah. And it actually forces you to use your abs instead of using your back and your neck. And you don't have to do a full workout. Just do one.
Yeah.
And then go to the bathroom. Come on your way back out. Do one.
You know what? That's the best idea. It's like having a little sign that's like, can you read this sign? Do a jumping jack.
Yeah, exactly. Just one. And if you have it in, say, the bathroom, especially if you've had too much black licorice that day, by the end of the day, you're probably going to have done 20 crunches on a day when you normally would have done zero.
Yes, because what oysters are to your libido, black licorice is to your anus.
And that's all.
Wait, no, Bethany, you didn't even talk about the color black yet.
Oh, the color black makes me so happy because it's the darkest color and it doesn't show sweat in the summer, which is why it's the best summer color, friends.
No, it's not a good summer color. It makes you too hot. Too hot.
Kathleen, every other color shows sweat. Black doesn't show sweat.
Mm.
You know who said never let him see you sweat?
Who?
The inventor of the black clothing.
You just made that up. I can be shallow sometimes, and that aesthetics are important to me.
I would say that you are visually stimulated.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
And that is just one of the many reasons why I am obsessed with my Brûche toothbrush, because I have the pink color and it's so pretty and it sits on my counter. And every day when I'm going to brush my teeth twice a day, I'm like, oh, look at this beautiful instrument that I'm using.
I love it because when I brush my teeth, I know that I'm doing a good job brushing them. If I've had just regular manual toothbrushes in the past, I know I'm probably scrubbing too hard. I know I'm probably not hitting all of the places I should be hitting. So I know that with Brûche, when I go to the dentist, it's going to be a much easier visit because my oral hygiene is significantly improved.
Yes, I feel like I just hired a team of people to clean my teeth every time I use my Brûche. And I'm like, oh, it feels like I've just left the dentist after getting my teeth cleaned, kind of clean.
And it has so many different modes, which I love because I have very sensitive, emotionally sensitive teeth. And so I use the sensitive feature. But there's also whitening and gums and regular, and you just feel like there is a brush that is designed exactly for you.
And on top of the 6 unique modes that they have to brush your teeth with, the Brûche toothbrush also has a 4-week battery life and this tiny little magnetic charging stand and a compact travel case. So you're set when you have Brûche.
Brûche ships you new replacement heads every 6 months, so you're never stuck using a worn down brush head. Or if you do what I did yesterday and accidentally drop your toothbrush into the open kitty litter container, you know you have another clean brush head sitting right in the cabinet waiting for you.
So, gentle listeners, get 15% off of your Brûche toothbrush kit and refill plan when you use the promo code TASTE at Brûche.com.
That's 15% off using the promo code TASTE at Brûche.com.
Bethany, click on the new arrivals. There's so many cute things in there. Do you see the Sienna dot loafers?
You know what? I love a dot. I'm also still just obsessed with their Mary Janes because they have a tie.
Oh my, look at the belt bag, the one that's beige and black.
Okay, we need to record this commercial, but this is how all of our Rothy's commercials start, is us just being on their website and fawning over everything. Rothy's has new stuff like all the time, and I don't understand how we're supposed to keep up, because bye-bye all of my money.
You know, when I was traveling, all the really stylish girls in the airport, they all had Rothy's on their feet. It was so funny. Sure. And I was like, I had mine on too, and I was like, hey, you like your Rothy's like a creepo?
If you are not aware of how much we love Rothy's, Rothy's are these amazing shoes and bags and masks that are made from materials like recycled plastic water bottles. They're fully machine washable and available in so many shapes and styles and colors, so you can find the right ones for you.
Bethany and I are always trying harder to do our part and buy from companies that have sustainable practices, and Rothy's is right there in the forefront of, you know, helping this earth and making stylish things.
Yeah, and it's not just feminine styles. If you like more masculine styles, Rothy's newly launched men's shoes are intentionally designed with an artisanal level of detail, and they're created with nearly zero waste.
Neil's birthday is coming up, and that is what I'm going to get him for his birthday. Please don't tell him, please.
I won't tell him when I text him. When I text him, just him and I. My favorite thing about my Rothy's, I have the loafer in mocha, is that it matches so many different things. And because I walk around New York City, they get so dirty. I know that I can throw them right in the washing machine. And when I take them back out, I'm going to have a new, fresh pair of shoes. So set up your summer wardrobe with washable, sustainable, stylish shoes and bags from Rothy's.
Head to Rothy's.com/taste to find your new warm weather favorites today.
Again, that's Rothy's.com/taste.
I have a question for you.
I have an answer for you.
Do you actually like the things that you like? Or do you think that maybe it's a possibility that the algorithm made you like the things you like?
I think I like the things I like. I mean, I get a sense of coming home when I see them. And so...
yeah.
I shudder at the thought that I don't actually like them, because what does that mean about my very special brain and my sense of identity?
Think about the 80s.
Okay.
Or the 70s, even the 90s, before recommendation algorithms existed.
Yeah.
When you wanted to discover new music, You had to go to the record shop.
You had to go to Borders Books and Music.
Yeah.
Walk past the cafe with their delicious frozen coffee drinks and blenders and go to whatever new cardboard cutout was standing near the CDs and go take a look.
You had to go to the wall where they where you could like sample listen to the CDs, put on the headphones that everybody else had on.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And the headphones usually were broken.
Yeah, and they would only play you about a minute of the song, so you couldn't just stand there and listen to the song.
Yeah.
I think about the ways that I discovered music was essentially the radio. Whatever the radio was playing was what I decided I liked.
Yeah.
And it's sad to say, but the radio doesn't have that much influence over our music choices anymore.
Yeah. It was like it was the radio or if you had a sibling or a parent. Mm-hmm. Or like a cooler friend who would float some music your way.
Or you had MTV.
Yeah, you're right. It's now, it's what is recommended to you by Spotify or by Apple Music.
And at Bethany, it goes even so much deeper than that. And so this sort of do I like the thing I like theory, it applies to not only music, it applies to television, it applies to clothing, it applies to your grocery cart. There are so many facets of our life that are affected by recommendation algorithms. If you have a phone or a smart TV or a computer or a tablet or an Amazon account, your decisions have been changed by recommendations.
Can I ask a quick question that maybe you can answer and maybe you can't?
Mm-hmm.
So you and I are like the last generation where we did not have the internet at first.
Mm-hmm.
So I know who I was before the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that I am naturally like this person who's really drawn to the color black and I really like spooky movies. And
gothic lifestyle.
Yeah, and like horror films. Mm-hmm. And I've been like that because I organically found that stuff. Do you think that every generation after ours will never fully know if they are naturally that way? Or do you think that they will also naturally be that way because they exist? They've always existed in this culture, and so they'll be organically drawn to things they like the same way that we were before the internet. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, it makes
sense. Does that make me sound 90?
No, it doesn't, Bethany. That is a question that I am going to bring up in my topic today. So
okay.
The question is, how powerful are recommendation algorithms really? Like, are we just consumer puppets of the algorithm or, you know, do we actually like the things we like? And in some respect, like I like these decisions, these recommendations being made to me because at the end of the day, I'm lazy, I'm tired, I have decision fatigue. And sometimes I need the bot to think about what movie I want to watch that night, right?
Yes. Tell me what to watch and don't call it a bot, call it your servant.
Yeah. Okay, so my sources are NPR, the podcast Planet Money, Mashable, and itnext.io. I'm going to include all of my sources in the show notes. But how many times have you accepted a suggestion from Netflix or Spotify or Amazon Prime about something you might like? Like, just on a daily basis, Bethany, like probably all the time.
I think all the time. I think the most on Instagram.
Yeah.
I think if I was on TikTok, it would be daily,
mm-hmm.
At least once a week on YouTube.
And you order your groceries online. So how many times has the algorithm suggested to you, oh, you know, if you like tomatoes, you might also like cherry tomatoes, you know?
Oh, crap. It's everywhere.
You bought peanut butter. So would you like to try this organic jelly?
Yes, I would.
I know.
I absolutely would.
And Pinterest is sort of funny. It's this social media application that doesn't even try to sneakily present you with things you might like. Like the whole platform is intrinsically based off of you needing suggestions for things you might like.
Yeah. I'm putting together boards for a headshot session that's coming up. And one of them is like an overworked lawyer. And I'm getting a lot of suggestions for frazzled women in blazers. And I'm like, no, I don't actually need to see all of these frazzled women wearing blue blazers.
And for big companies like Hulu and Netflix, it's important for them to invest in improving these recommendation algorithms all of the time. Because if you can't find something that you want to watch, you're more likely to cancel. So it is in their best interest to keep building these things up.
And also, the better they make the algorithms, the more invisible the algorithms seem.
Exactly.
Right? Because we don't notice things mm-hmm. that don't stick out.
Yes.
So if all of the suggestions are just like other things we love, we're not even going to notice that the algorithm is there.
So it goes, Bethany, it goes so much deeper than you can even imagine. I'm going to rewind a few years back, and I want to talk about how these sort of recommendation algorithms started. They were really rudimentary in the beginning. There's something called a collaboration algorithm, and that's sort of like the first recommendation algorithm. And it's like thumbs up, thumbs down, you know, when you like it.
Yeah.
People like you like this, so yeah. You might like this, right?
Yeah, like when I first started, like Pandora was the first mm-hmm. like streaming app I ever used. And it was like, I was really into the thumbs up, thumbs down. And that's how your station turned from a Metallica station into an Ali and AJ station, because you liked enough upbeat
yes.
poppy songs that they were like, you don't like Metallica, you like Ali and AJ.
Also, there's, you know, this rudimentary collaborative algorithm is you like this design app, so maybe you'll like that design app, or you like this scary movie, so maybe you like that scary movie.
Sure.
And it's very sort of like surface level data. People in your demographic like pink sweatshirts, so maybe you'll like this pink sweatshirt, that type of thing.
Yeah.
It's like a user to user, item to item approach.
Okay, that makes sense.
So there's this guy, his name is Doug Terry. He's the guy who changed so many facets of our lives, and we don't even know his name. He was interviewed by Planet Money. When Doug Terry was getting his PhD, his dissertation was on the invention of the domain name. So we owe .com and .org and domain naming systems to Doug Terry.
I don't trust him because he has two first names. You can't trust anyone with two first names.
He invented that idea and that system. He also invented, more importantly, he invented a filter for emails because he was annoyed at getting so many emails a day and having to go through them. He invented the filter that could predict which emails were going to be important to him and which he was likely never going to read. And so this was the sort of first recommendation engine, teaching your email to show you what might be important wow. to you. The like it button.
Wow.
So based on what he was opening and liking, his email learned that an email from his boss was important, but maybe, you know, like a chain email from his goofy friend, Steve, wasn't important.
Oh my gosh. This is like a level of knowing how to do things that my brain doesn't even process.
I could never in a million years be a data engineer. So this sort of idea of a like it button that Doug invented, Facebook was an early adopter of that.
Of course. That was one of the first things they did.
Also Netflix. Thumbs up, thumbs down. You know, I still think that Netflix has a version of thumbs up, thumbs down.
Probably.
It doesn't count as much as it used to because their algorithm now is much more complex, but it's sort of fun to hit the thumbs up, thumbs down, right?
It's like they want to know if you liked something, but they don't really care. we know better than you.
So a few years ago, Netflix opened up to data engineers all over the world and offered $1 million prize, their data, to anyone who could make their recommendation engine more powerful and more accurate.
Okay.
That is why Netflix keeps getting better and better at suggesting what you might like. The Netflix algorithm today even goes so deep as to, if you turned on a movie and watched it for 10 minutes and decided you didn't like it, Netflix now knows that you are willing to give movies in that category a try.
Shut
up! So they will recommend movies similar to that movie to you, even though you didn't like it, just based off of the fact that you were willing to give it a try.
But doesn't that not work because I didn't like it? So I didn't finish it.
No, because you might find, I don't know, let's just say sci-fi. If you've never watched a sci-fi movie before, but now maybe you're interested in watching sci-fi, because you are actually willing to give it a try, it's going to recommend sci-fi movies to you that are maybe slightly less weird than the one that you stopped watching.
Oh.
But it's still going to give you that category because now it knows you are sort of open to that category.
You're a little open to it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Oh, it's frightening.
And then there's another type of algorithm called content algorithm. And that's basically uh-huh. what I was just telling you about, you know, based off of the content that you're watching. It's not a product. It's not necessarily a thumbs up or thumbs down. It's a little bit deeper. You like the Spice Girls, so maybe you'll also like the Cheetah Girls. It's a bad cut. I don't know.
Maybe you'll like Blackpink. Like, you love the Spice Girls. Maybe you like Blackpink.
Yeah. Like, that is a little bit deeper than just like, people like you like this too. Maybe you'll like it, you know?
Yeah.
It's content based. It's only things that you're consuming, not necessarily buying, right?
Okay. Okay, cool.
And then there's a level that's even deeper than this. And this is the algorithm that really digs into recommendation engines and really has me wondering if I am even human.
I'm just picturing you, Kathleen, doing this research, and then your head starts spinning like the gif of the person with all the math numbers and chalk going around them. And then you look into the bathroom mirror and you turn on the one light bulb over your vanity. You, there used to be tons, but now there's suddenly just one. And you're just staring at yourself going, am I even human? You're just like pulling on your skin.
Bethany, in section one, we were talking about how much we like Instagram's discovery page. Like, you and I were praising the hybrid slash deep learning recommendation engine slash model. We were praising it. We were praising the discovery page about how much we like it. And the discovery page,
Kathleen, it takes a high level of intelligence to hold on to two conflicting ideas, to live on that razor's edge of believing one thing when knowing that you also believe something that is diametrically opposed. It is a sign of intelligence.
The recommendation algorithm that's really scary is the hybrid deep learning one.
I don't like deep learning.
It combines the very linear thumbs up, thumbs down type algorithms with the content-based algorithms, and it comes up with a very refined way of figuring out what you're going to like before you even know you like it.
It recommends it to me in a British accent because that's the most refined thing I can think of.
Think about if you are new to Hulu, right? And when you're signing up for Hulu.
You're Nulu.
You're Nulu. That was a really good joke.
It wasn't, but thank you.
If you're new to Hulu, and I do this with other accounts, if I'm signing up for something, I will give them my how I identify. I identify as female, and I will give them my age. The one thing I don't like giving anymore is when they ask you what your race is, I don't give that anymore because I don't want recommendations for just white people. I want to see, like, what is everybody watching, right?
Yeah.
But when you're a new subscriber to Hulu, other than the demographic information that they've asked you when you're signing up for your account, they essentially have no information on you. And so if you're using just very linear thumbs up, thumbs down type algorithms, they can't recommend anything to you right off the bat. And since they can't recommend anything to you, you're more likely to be like, ugh, this sucks. I'm going to cancel before my free trial week is over.
Sure. Because it's such a, it's like going to a vintage store. There's no rhyme or reason. And there's so much to dig through that there might be something amazing there, but it's so much work to get to the bottom of it and to find it.
So that's why they start taking into account right away. They can see what section you went to first, what video you played first, like what your mind is open to watching. And then they use hybrid deep learning algorithms to fill the rest of your space. And so that is the linear type algorithms combined with the content-based algorithms. It goes as deep as if you watch the movie Clueless.
Yes.
You love it, but you don't necessarily give it a thumbs up or thumbs down. But you watch the whole thing through.
Yeah. You love Josh.
And then you watch The Faculty. Okay.
Great ass movie.
1998 horror movie starring Josh Hartnett.
And Jon Stewart.
Really? He's in that too?
Hell yeah, he's in that too. He plays a teacher and something real bad happens to him. Spoiler alert. That movie is awesome. B.B. Newirth is in it. B.B. Newirth and all over the place. Damn, that movie's good. I'm watching it today.
So now the machine knows that you are willing to give a chance to movies from the 90s. Now the machine knows that you are willing to give a chance to movies with teen actors. You are partial to movies about high school.
Oh.
The threads between what you like are much, much deeper than what it used to be. So based off of you watching these two movies, even if you turn The Faculty off halfway through, you might get a recommendation like, I was a teenage werewolf from 1957.
I know what you did last summer, too. I still know what you did last summer.
Something that never would have normally popped up in your feed because the algorithm is finding much deeper threads to link certain types of media that now it's deciding what you're going to like for you. Like even deeper than that, an example that the Planet Money podcast, episode 1433, Runaway Recommendation Engine, even deeper than that, there might be categories in the algorithm like deep character development. And so maybe Amazon Prime is now going to show you other movies with deep character development and not just like a surface trait of the movie.
Okay. This is fascinating. So this then makes me wonder, because I'm always curious about what are jobs that we didn't know existed. Mm. And I wonder, is there somebody either at Netflix or Hulu or whoever is a side company hired by them?
Yeah.
Is there someone going through all of these movies and categorizing them based on things we never would have thought of?
Sure is.
Because I know we have in the past seen job postings for like someone, your dream job is to sit and watch movies all day for Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But is it still that? Is it human based? Or are there separate computer programs that can identify things that are in common with movies that we would never think are in common? You know, like who sets these parameters?
This is something that I didn't dig too much into, but I did read that hybrid algorithms for recommendations, you need more manpower because you need more data scientists setting parameters, which is like a critical way how to identify a piece of media in the system of the company that you work for. I think it's probably a little bit of both.
Because I also wonder... Mm-hmm. Now, when new products come out, shows or movies or specials, is there now just an existing like sheet you have form you have to fill out as the filmmaker saying, hey, this is the movie we put out. It's called, you know, Iron Man 7 and it stars these people and it has these themes and it has this character development and it has these tones and it has this blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So that those can then be plugged into the algorithms by these different streaming services. Is it like just part of the process of creating media now?
I don't doubt it. Think about when you and I just post on our Instagrams or on Twitter.
Yeah.
We use hashtags so people can find our content more easily. It's basically the same thing, except these parameters that movie production companies give to Amazon Prime or Hulu or Netflix or whatever, they're now using them as recommendation algorithms, you know, instead of like hashtag this movie is a feel good movie, you know?
Yeah, that's wild. Mm-hmm. That's so, so interesting.
God, I think of all of the things that I've purchased recently and they've all been recommended to me off of Instagram or Facebook, mostly Instagram, but I never go to the mall anymore. Never.
No, I know. And it's interesting how quickly I've become nostalgic for a mall. Mm-hmm. I used to hate the mall because of the crowds and it was just, you know, going from store to store trying to figure out what you wanted. And now I'm nostalgic for the experience of discovering something organically. And being able to walk into a store, not knowing what I was going to get for someone for a gift, and then finding this thing that I never would have known to search for because I didn't even know it existed. But just walking into a store and saying, this is a crazy statue of a gnome and it's hollow and you can open it with a with a code. But maybe discovering something in a store you didn't know existed is now the algorithm will help you find that gnome that's hollow that opens with a code.
Yeah. And, you know, a little part of me is kind of happy that I don't have to think too hard to find movies and music that I'll like.
Oh, this makes me real sad. You and I are on very opposite sides of this.
Because sometimes I have decision fatigue.
No, that I understand. That I totally understand. When you're on social media, if you're on TikTok or Instagram at the end of the day and you just want to scroll through and giggle, that's when I think it's nice. I do love the discovery page that shows me more cute puppy and kitten videos. But I do wonder how much we're going to miss of truly new experiences because we're only being led further down a path that we already like versus having the quote unquote older sibling who rocks your world with an artist you didn't know existed and you never would have found on your own that Instagram never would have shown you because It's so out of left field.
Maybe older siblings were the original recommendation engines, you know?
No.
Think about this. It might be a highly over-romantic notion to think that before the internet suggested books that we liked and the movies that we liked and the music, that we would only be consuming things at small indie bookshops or going to like a local theater, the only place really obscure movies. Like movies that people liked before the internet suggested were the movies and books and other things that had a lot of money behind them for advertising power.
Yeah, you're right.
And so recommendation engines, I feel like in some respect, give a step up to the little guy.
Oh, that's a good point.
So it's not totally evil.
Yeah. No, you're right. Because I definitely have that romantic notion of just, I don't know why I'm wearing all tweed and walking into an old bookstore. But you're right. It was who had the biggest budget.
Yeah. And what were we seeing in newspapers? What were we seeing in magazines and on commercials on TV?
Oh, man, you're right. It is a nuanced issue.
Without YouTube, Justin Bieber wouldn't be Justin Bieber.
And where the hell would we be then?
I mean, he would still be Justin Bieber. He just wouldn't be Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber.
If you put into, say, I don't know, Spotify, and you want chill music that's described as coffee shop vibes, and you listen to two playlists, and one you listen to all the way through, and it's upbeat songs and has a happy tone, and then the other coffee shop vibe playlist that's recommended to you, you skip over most of the songs and then you just stop listening to the playlist because it's like slower beats and a sadder feel. Now your music engine knows that you are into feel-good music and they'll recommend to you other feel-good tunes that doesn't even necessarily fall into the coffee shop category. It knows what type of beats you like in a song.
I mean, I think what this does is it just puts more of the onus on us to be more intentional in what we do every day.
Yeah.
Like to really be aware that this is happening. And so we can actively choose to seek out things we wouldn't normally be recommended.
Yeah.
And to go offline for a second and talk to other people and see what other people are listening to because we're not, the more and more that this happens, we're probably never going to be led to that cool out of left field thing, you know?
Maybe we should spend part of our day discovering new music and new movies in a way that is outside of our comfort zone. Like maybe pick up a copy of The New Yorker, or maybe like go find a weird Reddit board where people are discussing like obscure books or movies. You know, the final question I want to pose in this discussion about recommendation algorithms is, do you think recommendation engines are changing humanity? Like, are they changing history because they're changing the way we consume media?
Fully.
Like, think about Tiger King or the BLM uprise in 2020. Mm-hmm. Like the way that, I mean, Tiger King is such like a, I'm rolling my eyes suggestion, but especially with BLM and all the protests and the things that happened, information was more easily accessible via social media, via recommendation engines. Are recommendation algorithms changing history?
Yes, because I think that the information that people were being recommended was information that was already in line with the way they viewed things. And so that's where I get nervous. We're never going to be recommended something that it doesn't almost positively know we're going to like already. Mm-hmm. And that's when you stop learning. That's when you stop growing as a person. That's when you stop feeling uncomfortable and being forced to look at something else. I think that it will definitely change and I also wonder, is it going to make us more and more averse to feeling uncomfortable? Huh. Because it's not something that we have to do unless we really, really seek it out.
I am thinking about what's on the forefront of American news right now, and that's the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And that's getting people vaccinated and stopping the spread of this new Delta variant. And I'm thinking about all the ways that recommendation algorithms have probably affected that in spreading false information about vaccines and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even think about this when I was researching the topic, but that is changing the face of history today, every single day, as we know it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing if it's recommending more teen-based horror films. Like, that's great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. But I think what we've learned is that if technology is invented it's not going to only be used for the thing in which it was intended to be used. Yeah. It's not just going to be like, well, this is only for fun things. Yeah. Or, you know, this like this deep fake technology is only to make funny videos of Obama saying funny things that he didn't actually say. Like, deep fake technology is going to be used to try and, you know, harm people by making it look like they've said things they haven't said. It's going to get better and better. Like, it's going to be used to take actors who have passed away and make them very realistically look like they're in a movie without their consent, or if their estate, you know, doesn't have their best interest. And so the state signs off on Elvis showing up in a movie that he never would have wanted to show up in, but he can't. There's so much at stake, and I don't mean to put on my tinfoil hat, but this is the kind of stuff that makes me nervous.
Bethany, this topic is so much deeper than I originally realized. Holy Moses.
I think we should continue the conversation in our bunker because they're listening.
I mean, do I even like romantic comedies, or is it something that's been forced upon me?
I've been asking you this for years.
Oh my God.
This changes. We have to question everything, Kathleen. Go back into your bathroom. We have to turn on that one light bulb and stare at ourselves in the mirror for a while. I think that we've all had that experience where you're talking to somebody about something that you're struggling with and you don't feel heard. You don't feel like they're hearing you. Either they're just being like, oh, it's not that big of a deal, or they're literally not paying that much attention to you.
Yeah.
It is the most frustrating situation. And that is why Kathleen and I are such big fans of going to therapy, especially therapy that works with your schedule in your life. Like Talkspace.
When I was initially looking for a therapist a few years ago, I had a really tough time finding someone that was in my network, finding someone that had weekly availability for me. That doesn't happen with Talkspace. All you have to do is sign up, and Talkspace is going to make it really easy to match with a licensed therapist and to schedule live video sessions, all from the comfort of your own device. You can start messaging your therapist the same day that you sign up.
And if you live in a smaller town, it can be so hard to find a therapist. I remember growing up, we were trying to find one for me, and the waiting list was months long because I lived in a smaller area where there weren't that many.
Yeah.
Talkspace makes it so that you can get this help fast.
And whether you're a parent or you're a student or you're a millennial or a Gen Zer, or maybe you're just an infant, or maybe you're just someone who's had a hard day, Talkspace can provide the support that you need to make you feel better.
Can you imagine if you're a new parent and you come in and your baby is texting with their therapist and it's like, you're a new baby. You have to give me a chance to screw up before you start talking to a therapist about me.
You're only 10 days old. What could possibly be the matter?
And who gave you that phone?
Who taught you how to use it?
Oh man, these kids know how to use phones earlier and earlier. So start feeling better with a single message. Match with a licensed therapist when you go to Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month with the promo code TASTE.
That's $100 off of your first month when you use the code TASTE at Talkspace.com. Well, this shits.
What?
I just clicked on this thing on Twitter that was obviously clickbait, and it was like, why don't they teach us in kindergarten? Put a crayon in your wallet to save your life.
What? Why don't they teach us that in kindergarten?
I clicked on the dang link and I can't find anything about why I need a crayon in my wallet, but I have found out that sweat stains will be gone with water and lemons.
You know what? I hate that. So this happens to me on domino.com all the time. You know I love domino.com, but they're like, here are the 20 removable wallpapers that you're going to love for spring.
Yeah.
And then you go to the site and there's only 4 removable wallpapers and none of them are ones I want for spring. Where are the other 16 wallpapers?
You know, Domino stopped printing this year because they were sold. There haven't been any print issues of Domino this year.
Who bought them?
I don't know.
Who else is going to tell me what 4 removable wallpapers I want, or how to make fluting as a headboard using pool noodles?
I know you hate fluting. You hate fluting.
Fluting? Fluting is when fluting, if you don't know, because I didn't know until Domino, was it's like a bunch of McDonald's arches all together, you know, like if you have, it's just like a bunch of fluting, like if you lay a bunch of flutes together and then paint over them.
Yeah, like I've seen people using round tables and then on the base of the table making like a base out of dowels. So there's like little pieces of wood that are all the same height and then they paint them and it looks gorgeous. It adds a lot of architectural interest to a piece.
Yeah. Yeah, people love fluting. And I saw an article that was like 20 ways that you can make fluting into a headboard. And it mostly, spoiler alert, is you take a bunch of pool noodles, you cut them to the size of the wall, and then you cut them in half. And then you just, you hot, literally hot glue them to your wall, yeah, and then put fabric over them,
yeah,
and staple the fabric and then put your bed up against it. And now you have a fluted headboard. But you, at the end of the day, you always know it's just pool noodles. Mm. And I wonder if that does something to you psychologically and makes you love it less. You know, does it seem less glamorous because, yeah, you know, pool noodles.
There's this interesting thing that happens. I think when I make something, I love it so much more than if I hadn't made it. With the exception of furniture. Sometimes I DIY furniture and I look at it and I'm like, oh, I hate you.
I wonder.
But like recipes and digital art, if I've created it, I'm like, oh my God, I'm the best chef in the world.
You should, because you put time and effort into it. Of course you feel more. I think that's why people love their children.
Speaking of magazines, before we started recording today, I was on my high horse talking about how Gen Zers are ruining the homepages of all of the digital magazines.
You were like, I can't find any good wellness articles because they're all horoscopes.
Because horoscopes is something that like registers, it performs well for Gen Zers. So if you go to glamour.com or cosmo.com and you're looking for some hard-hitting news, good luck, because you're just going to know what zodiac sign relates to what type of pizza you like.
I will say I've seen more and more, like when we all go into Scorpio season, I've seen so many more posts and memes of people going like, sorry I killed someone, but you know me, it's Scorpio season.
Leo season, I saw a lot of that over the summer. Funny trick, if you just go to the navigation bar, you'll actually find the content that you want. It's just not on the homepage.
So what's the good sweet, sweet content that you found on Glamour? Is it Glamour or Glamour? Are we in the UK or America?
Glamour.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, what did you find on glamour.com?
Is kombucha good for you?
Is it?
Bethany, there are health benefits, dangers, and more.
I know that it's good for your gut. It's got some of that sweet, sweet fermentation.
A lot of people, myself included, I'm like, look, I love my body. I love my insides. I'm doing, yeah, something good for myself. I'm drinking kombucha in a wine glass instead of wine.
Yeah.
Turns out that this miracle tea isn't always good for you. It really depends on the brand. You need to look at like how much sugar is in it. It is a good source of probiotic bacteria, which is basically what it's known for. However, the amount and diversity of these organisms present in bottled kombucha can widely vary. So you really need to do your research in that respect.
What could kill you? Wait, did you say there's something that could kill you?
Different brands have different types of organisms, and how many organisms and probiotics they have varies from brand to brand.
I like thinking of it more as probiotics and less as organisms, because boy, I don't want to think about bringing living things into my body unless it's, you know, sexy orgy night. But like the rest of it, no, thank you. Do they recommend different brands? Are there brands that we should be looking for non-spawn?
They
don't even recommend brands.
They don't. No, probably because maybe they're looking for a kombucha partner, and then maybe that's why they wrote this article to like bait kombucha partners. But yeah.
That's the equivalent of being a nature guide and saying, all right, all you new hikers, there's some really good trails out there that are safe, and there are some ones that are deadly. Good luck.
Good luck. Best of luck to ya.
And then just like leaving us to do it all by ourselves.
The CDC says that kombucha is safe to drink 4 ounces of kombucha 1 to 3 times daily. So not even a whole bottle at once. 4 ounces a couple of times during the day.
Whoever reached out to the CDC on behalf of Glamour when we're in the middle of a pandemic. Like, I know. I'm trying to figure out if that CDC spokesperson was relieved they could talk about something other than the pandemic. And they're like, I'll dibs on the kombucha story. Or if they were annoyed.
It's like your boss announces to the company that they're going, the company's going bankrupt.
Yeah.
And you're like, I know we're bankrupt, but sorry to bother you. Do you want the newsletter to go out today?
That story doesn't sound real or pulled from personal experience at all.
Oh, nope, 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 nope.
One of my favorite. Okay, so anyone who works in a business, especially if it's like a large corporation, you know, you get those mass emails about something that everyone needs to know. Mm-hmm. And my favorite one that we got at our old job was the one that said, please stop using the color printer. We now have to only give the color printer key to a couple of people. Here they are. Mm-hmm. You have to request color prints from them. And that's because too many of you were printing out pictures of your own pets on the color printer. Was that our old job or was that when I worked at the bank? I'm trying to remember which one it was.
I think that was at our old job. Like too many people were using the color printer for non-work related reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, and I know because you would walk around to people's cubes and there would be color printed pictures of dogs and cats and like their recent trip to Mykonos. And I'm pretty sure that's not there to sell music.
No, when you're a parent, part of your job as a parent is to get the supplies that your child needs for school projects at work.
Yes.
That is part of, like, I remember saying to my mom, like, come home with like construction paper or, you know, those fat rings where I can like, can make a binder with. Yeah. Bring those home.
Bring some of those. My mom would come home with reams and reams of printer paper. Yeah. We would just color on it.
Of course. Of course. Are you kidding me? At our old job, if there was any type of food item like coffee or tea or a cleaning product, I would literally just sweep it into a huge tote bag that I kept underneath my desk so I didn't have to buy it and I bring it home.
It's brutal. Mm-hmm. I've also been to events where there's a new box of Sharpies and by the end of the night, that box has been destroyed. Like it's not even like the Sharpies are all gone. The box has been torn to shreds. Mm-hmm. Like someone was disrespectful to that box because a box of new Sharpies is like, it's precious.
Once I found a J. Crew shirt underneath my desk and it was a men's slim large. And I was like, this is my husband's now.
That's great. You know, sometimes you find clothes and you got to clean those clothes. You got to take those clothes.
I asked if it belonged to anybody. No one said anything. So yeah.
Here's my question.
Finders keepers.
How do you lose a shirt?
I don't know.
Because that is a thing you notice. It's like when I see one shoe. Who walked away in one shoe and didn't realize that their other foot was naked?
I've lost a shoe once and it really pissed me off so much.
Were you drunk?
No, it was in high school and my mom had purchased me this pair of really cute black flats from Nine West. Remember when Nine West was like the go-to?
Yeah, hell yeah.
And I had cheer practice and I lost one of my shoes and I was scared to tell her because they probably were a lot of money. They're probably like $50 or something. So I went to Payless, who was making a dupe, and I wore the Payless dupe side by side with my actual Nine West shoe, and Bethany, you couldn't tell the difference.
Whoa.
You couldn't. Mm-hmm.
It's like every sitcom that's ever had the plot line of I'm in charge of taking care of so-and-so's pet. The pet dies under my care, so I get a similar pet and try to pass it off.
And they can't even tell.
It's like that.
Yeah.
And they couldn't even tell. Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Well, besides dupes being a good thing, Kathleen, mm-hmm. what did you learn this week, my friend?
Oh, you go first, because I'm not sure yet.
Oh, okay, I learned that do some searching online if you're getting like a new makeup foundation to see how badly it oxidizes. Because
what does that mean?
It's when you put on a foundation and a couple hours to the end of the day later, it's a completely different color, usually darker and a little more orange.
Oh.
I was warned ahead of time that Fenty foundation oxidizes pretty badly, so like start a little bit lighter. I also, and like, it also has to do with your own skin and like the stuff you put on under your makeup, but it's a good thing to look into. So yeah. I really like Milk Makeup. We've talked about them before. They're not a sponsor. We just really like them. I love their Flex Foundation Stick, but if you're using this foundation, go a shade or half a shade lighter if you can, because it oxidizes pretty badly. Twice now I filmed something just like on Instagram wearing this foundation and it is orange by the time we film. It's crazy how much it oxidizes. So I'm going to try to order a different color today, like start lighter.
Oh,
it's annoying when you put makeup on and then, you know, a couple hours later, it doesn't match your skin anymore. It doesn't match your neck. It's like, for me, I'm pretty pale. It turns orange. It's just weird looking. So it's not like life changing. It's just good to keep in mind.
Thank you for that. I never really thought about that.
What about you, Kathleen? What'd you learn this week?
Okay, so I saved this from Instagram. I learned that 1901, there was a doctor, his name was Duncan McDougall, and he tried to prove the existence of the human soul inside the body. And to do so, he measured the weight of a person at the moment of their death. He did this with 6 patients, and all of them actually experienced the same weight loss of 21 grams after they had been dead for a few hours.
So I've heard of this. I didn't know it was 1901. I didn't know it was – I figured it was like the 70s when they were doing all those weird trippy experiments.
I mean, it's probably water evaporation. Like, let's be real about it. But yeah, your soul weighs 21 grams.
That's amazing. Wait, I think there's something – yeah, there's a film called 21 Grams. Is that about that or is that about cocaine?
You know what, Bethany? Don't ruin the mystique. Just don't even tell me what 21 grams is about.
Okay, I won't.
Bethany, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram, Ms. Bethany Watson, and on Twitter, at Radio Bethany. What about you, Kathleen?
At WebGirlKathleen on everything. And we usually do this last, but wherever you listen to the podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best, and it really makes our day when we see a nice review. So thank you.
Totally. Yes. Thank you in advance. You can find our show on social media. We are on Twitter, at Acquired Podcast.
We're on Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Push, make sure you check out the fan group in there.
We're on Instagram, at Acquired Taste Podcast.
You can send us an email, at Acquired Taste Podcast at gmail.com.
You can send us a snail mail, an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
And we have a TikTok now. Follow us, Acquired Taste Podcast. Also, you can leave us a voicemail. We play them at the end of every show, and our phone number is 917-994-0353.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
All right, taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, Kathleen and Bethany. I was just listening to the latest podcast, and Kathleen was talking about how she has ADHD, which now, being a person who is in TikTok, I also think I have ADHD too, but I found a really great tip that I wanted to share, and it was don't put it down, put it away, because after Kathleen was talking about misplacing her cord for her microphone, I thought of that, but I made a little jingle too, which is don't put it down, put it away. Don't put it down, put it away. Don't put it down, put it away. I'm still working on it, but I wanted to share that with you ladies. Super embarrassed with my song, but hey, maybe it'll help you guys out. All right, have a great day.
Hey, it's me, Caitlin, and we're in New Brunswick with a bunch of taste buds, and they keep thinking we're a cult. So here is everyone right now. Hang on. Yeah, we've been mistaken for a
second.
Okay, bye.
Hi, hello there. Bethany, Kathleen, Minerva, Purr, Loki, Cannoli, and all additional furry friends. Oh, Juno. How could I forget little Juno? This is Taste Bud Allie from the Poconos. I'm just calling in to say that it has been a gosh darn hard week for me, and honestly, I don't know how I would have made it through without the support of some of the friends that I made through the Facebook fan group and just all of the messages on the fan page. Looking at the memes from Meme Monday, all the funny things people are posting has just really, really helped me get through one of the toughest professional work weeks of my entire life. So thank you so much for providing this platform for us, for the ability for us to make friends with people we probably never would have met, and providing your podcast, which makes us think, makes us laugh, makes us smile, sometimes makes us cry. And then just thank you two for being the most wonderful humans that I've never met before. Love you so much, and every taste bud that's going through something right now, just know that this bud here is supporting you always.
Hey, ladies. Taste Bud Liana here. I was listening to the latest podcast, Death Doulas, Trypophobia, and you were talking about child actors. And I just wanted to say that Allison Stoner actually made a video talking about the trauma that child actors go through and the problems with the industry that you might want to check out. One of the things that I think she said in that video, or I think that I read later on when I was doing some research, was that children and even adults in acting, in movies and scenes, their brains can't determine what's real and what's fake. So I remember the example I read about was Nicole Kidman in Big Little Lies, I think. I've never seen it, but apparently she was a victim of domestic violence, and when she got home from filming that day, even though she's an adult, she's a fully grown woman, her brain is fully formed, her body and her mind were still reacting as if she was in that situation, and she had a full mental breakdown. So if that's an adult dealing with that, imagine the trauma that kids deal with, especially if they're in something like a scary movie or a kidnapping scene in a TV show, anything like that. So it is interesting, and I'd be curious to see if they could improve the CGI child actors, because we all know the horror that was Renesmee in the Twilight series.
Hello again. It's Michelle, taste bud / modman of the Acquired Taste podcast fan group /, I don't know, your resident Northern Mainer, I guess. Anyway, just wanted to say, like, if you haven't joined the Acquired Taste podcast fan group on Facebook, you are missing out, because so many of us have found the most meaningful friendships and relationships through this group. Lately, there have been so many meetups and even like lots of talk about future meetups. Like, hey, I'm in this area. Like, let's do a meetup. And I just wanted to say I'm so excited because the Taste Bud community is incredible in itself, like in an online format. And it's even more incredible that it's just as great in person, too. And I'm just so grateful and thankful every day of my life for my taste buds. I think we go through life together in such a unique way. And if you're not a part of that fan group, you are really missing out. Goodbye. Okay,